Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Excited about continuing our narrative in the book of 1 Samuel, learning to let God lead. When the people of God are without leadership, boy, it's just a confusing season in their lives. And that confusion has been brought to the land of the Philistines. And it's almost as if nobody is really understanding who God is. The enemies of God are seeing God, but not wanting to see God. The people of God have seen God, but they've had an improper view of God. And really, when it comes right down to it, John, our success, and I use that word in the biblical sense, our success in life really is contingent upon our ability to apprehend God through His Word.
And that is so true, and we find it throughout the Word of God, pastors, you mentioned. You know, it would be understandable why the Philistines would not have a better response. I mean, these people are not even God's people. They don't have all the scriptures that the Israelite people have. And still, they should have known better than they did. But we can understand more so why they responded how they did, because they weren't even part of God's people. But the people of God, why they're not responding better, they are without excuse. Their leadership was without excuse. Their leadership has the Word of God. They know what they should be doing. They're just not willing to do it. And that is a sad indictment.
It really is. We're in verse number 9. The diviners and the priests have given this crazy plan about the ark being on a cart and milk cows taking that cart back, but locking the calves up back home. And if the milk cows take the cart away from their calves, we'll know this is of God. So all that's going on. God's bigger than all of that. Look at verse number 9, where they say, "And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh," we read this verse yesterday at the end, "then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us." So the men did so. Verse 10, "And the men did so, and took two milk kine, tied them to the cart, shut up their calves at home, and they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of their emerald." Just think about how crazy this is, the crazy ways that people try to appease God. Verse 12, "And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went." I mean, they were just noisy. "And turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them into the border of Beth Shemesh." Boy, what a picture, John. I mean, it's almost just ludicrous and humorous.
This is just a fascinating portion of scripture. And, you know, I can just picture this in my mind whenever I read this. As you see, they set up this really difficult scenario, let the ark go, and the ark goes straight. They don't turn to the left or the right. The cows just go straight right toward where God wants them to go. And I find it interesting that the Philistines are following after them. I have to wonder in my heart if they're not hoping, well, maybe they're going to turn around. You know,
right.
I don't know what they think. Maybe
right.
they're going to turn, but they never turn. They keep on going straight.
Yes. And I find here, and I don't want to over, mystify the Bible, but boy, I tell you, I just find such great lesson in these cows. It's like, can we be as faithful as a cow? These cows, number one, they are concerned about getting God to where he belongs. You know, I want God to be where he belongs in my life. That's principle number one. Principle number two, they're not turning for the right hand or to the left, even though their natural urges are arguing otherwise. Everything in their biology is saying, no, go the other way. But they're not behaving according to their biology, according to what their body is telling them to do. They're going to where God wants them to go. So there's a great lesson there. And then They go until they get to the place. You know, they don't quit. They're being shadowed by the enemies of God. They're being hounded by them, but they're undeterred. I mean, there's just so much there.
There is a lot here to look at the cows. These are great object lessons. You're right, all that you said, Pastor. Just good examples of how God is in control, and these cows are submitting to God, doing what God wants them to do. And as I think about this concept, my mind often goes to Mark chapter 1, the idea that, you know, with the created order, a lot of it just obeys what God tells them to do. I think even in Mark chapter 1, even the demons had to obey what God told them to do. Ultimately, although they didn't want to, they had to obey what Jesus told them. But my mind goes to the leper, the end of Mark chapter 1, where Jesus tells him, what he said, don't tell anybody, go right to the priest. There were certain reasons why Jesus told him, I won't get into right now, but Jesus says, go right to the priest. But God gave mankind a responsible will. Mm-hmm. And the mankind did not obey Jesus and went and did things exactly the opposite. And so we find many great examples of submission in the created order where they have to obey God. We as believers should be ecstatic about obeying God. But often, you know, that is not our first choice.
It's not. It's our prerogative as free moral agents, but it's our detriment as free moral agents. The Bible says in verse number 13, and they of Bet Shemesh, some people pronounce it Bet Shemesh, were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. They lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. So think about this from the perspective of God's people. They have been bested in battle. They have taken on huge casualties. Over 34,000 have died in those 2 days of battles at Ebenezer. And so you can only imagine that the workforce has been incredibly depleted. Every harvest is all hands on deck. They have been living outside of the presence and therefore protection of God, which they erroneously thought was the ark and not God. But now they're seeing the ark make a beeline back to them. You can only imagine what this elicited in their hearts.
Oh, they were pumped now. They were so excited. You know, the ark, as you mentioned, I think an episode ago, that, you know, the ark did have an important place in God's plan there in the tabernacle. It was a very important piece of furniture that God had them build. Now, sadly, the people had gotten the wrong ideas about it, but this was an important event with the ark coming back. God has brought it back to them. And so this is an important day, and they are jubilant about what's happening.
They really are. Matter of fact, verse 14 states, and the ark came into the field of Joshua, a Bethshemite, and stood there, where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. So, John, we talked about these cows as being a great example of commitment and not turning for the right hand or to the left and not obeying their natural urges. But now we see that the end of their journey was complete sacrifice, that their bodies were given completely to the work of God. What a great capstone on some pretty godly cows.
That is for sure. And you can find a great object lesson from these cows is a great example, you know, of us, as you mentioned before. But now they do sacrifice them in that, you know, they are praising God for this event that's happened now.
It's almost as if, John, I want my life to be a life where I carry God's message to the people that need it, that I obey him by following his will above my natural urges, and that my entire life would be given as a sacrifice to him. I think Paul used that very language when he said, you know, I've offered up. I've poured myself out like a drink offering toward the Lord, he said in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. He encouraged all believers to present themselves a living sacrifice and holy and acceptable unto God. And we see that obviously in these animals, and I've made way too much about that that illustration. But the point here is that Joshua sees this. Joshua sees this as the Lord. Joshua sees this as God has supernaturally, providentially brought the ark back. God's presence is again among us. And that ought to give rise to great humility and great honor to the Lord. So that this the offering of the cows and the breaking up of the cart for the wood is really just symbolic of a grateful heart to say, God, thank you for your mercy in coming back to us.
Yeah, and I love it how God, throughout the Word of God, we see how that God is merciful. And God gives grace often in spite of the bad judgments, the bad decisions we make. And obviously, if we don't make bad judgments, we don't experience the mercy of God before we trust in Christ. What I mean by that is if we were perfect, we wouldn't need mercy.
Right.
But because we are sinners, we need the mercy of God, and God lavishes it upon us. And there's so many times in Scripture, whenever people of God go away, they're in problems because of their own doing, but God works providentially and shows his mercy to them. I think of Abraham when he told Sarah, lie about who I am. And Abraham made wrong decisions, but in spite of that, God worked providentially to get things where they needed to be. Here, the Israelites, they've made bad decisions in what they were doing with the Ark of the Covenant and what they were doing toward God. But God was merciful. God worked providentially, brings the Ark back to them. God wants them to pay attention to Scripture and to walk with him.
I can only imagine the lamentation in Israel after that initial battle at Ebenezer, where the priests were killed, Hophni and Phinehas, Eli ended up dying, Ichabod, we talked about that whole story, the thousands of soldiers were killed. That had to have been a very difficult season in Israel's history. And as God's people, no doubt they were thinking, God has turned his back on us. God does not love us. We've missed it. We've missed who God is. It had to have been a depressing time. But think about what's happening here. God was at work. They didn't know it. But during those 7 months, God was dealing with the enemy. God was dealing with their pride. God was wreaking havoc among them. Not only was God doing that among the enemy, God was blessing his people. They were gathering the wheat harvest. God was still feeding them. He was still caring for them. He was still their God. And God was planning his return. Because we can look at this as priests and diviners, and we can look at this as the plans of man. But what we really see here is the Lord working providentially in such a way that the ark is coming home. And I would say, I guess, to our listeners right now that, have you made some really bad decisions? Do you feel like that because of some of the bad decisions you've made that you are in a time of distance from God, maybe a time when you feel like God's judgment's upon you? You look at people that don't know God and don't love God as being prosperous. Well, take heart. Take heart in this story, because God's at work in ways that you can't see among people that you don't know. God's blessing your lives in ways that you're probably not taking stock of, feeding you, providing for you, caring for you. And God's coming back. He's never left you in a theological sense. But the very presence of God, the joy of your salvation, all of it, it's there. It's there for the taking. And the story of Beth Shemesh is a story of reclamation. It's a story of mercy. It's a story of second chances. It's a story that every single one of us needs. And so we're going to finish it tomorrow, or next episode, I should say. And I hope you'll join us. It's a great passage. It's an encouraging passage. It's a passage for you and for me. So I hope you have a great day today. Thanks for joining in, and we will talk to you next episode. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.